Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will begin a new series of studies here on Grace Alive, a series entitled The Coming New World Order. We're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about a new world order, when that world order arrives, and what changes that will make to the world when that world order arrives. Revelation chapter 21 will be our starting point for this series of studies, so you might want to take a moment now and get your Bibles and turn to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. And as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive, and at the end of the program today, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive. We have, of course, a mail address, a web address, and a toll-free phone number. In any one of those three ways, you're welcome to contact us if you have questions or comments about what you hear on the program, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. If you write and request them, we'll be glad to get them out to you without any cost or obligation. Just request the series on the New World Order, and we'll get them out to you right away. Right now, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. Revelation 21 and verse 1. And we read this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." In Revelation chapter 21, we read of a new heaven and a new earth. Now, if you pay attention to politics or world leaders today, you know that oftentimes there's talk about a new world order. A politician might say, well, we need to implement a new world order. We need to do things differently. We need to put away wars and struggles and do away with hunger and do away with all sorts of things and bring in some sweeping new world order. And the politicians say that in reference to, of course, political issues, that we're going to do this through negotiation and through political compromise and that sort of thing, that we can make the world a better place and bring in this new world order. Some people talk about it in a very positive way that could bring in a new world order. Some believe it's a very negative thing to bring in that new world order, that we sort of do away with nations and nationalism and bring in a whole new paradigm into the world. Well, in this series of studies, we want to look at a coming new world order, a world order that the Bible talks about that is going to come. This is not a world order that's been conceived by politicians or world leaders or the intellectuals in universities around the world. But this is a new world order that God speaks of. This is a new world order that God has prophesied in His Word will come. And in this series of studies, as I said, we're going to look at that new world order, understand that new world order, understand where that new world order originates, how that new world order is established, and all the detail about how that world order will function. Because as I said, the Scripture does say that there will be a new world order, a world order not based upon mankind's desires and mankind's efforts and mankind's work, but a world order based on what God is going to do to retake the authority and the control of His world, of His planet, of His earth. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis chapter 1. To understand this new world order and how the new world order is going to come, we need to understand a little bit about the order that exists now on the earth and where that world order came from and how God put in place a world order at the beginning of creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we read this, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, and the image of God created He him, male and female created He them." So in Genesis chapter 1, we read that God creates mankind in His own image, and then in verse 26, He says, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God has put in place a world order, if you will. That is, He's put in place a system of dominion in the earth. He's put in place a system where mankind rules on planet Earth, where mankind has the dominion. And when we talk about a world order, when we talk about a structure. We talk about a world order. We're really talking about the structure of the world and how is it organized and how does it function and how does it work? And the world order that God puts in place in Genesis chapter 1 is a world order that gives mankind dominion, where man has dominion on the earth. God created the heaven and the earth. He's the creator of the universe, so the dominion belongs to Him. He is the creator and the possessor of heaven and earth. Genesis chapter 14 tells us that He's the possessor of heaven and earth. And as the possessor of heaven and earth, as the creator of heaven and earth, He can give dominion. He can turn the authority, if you will, and the operation of His universe, of His planet, over to whomever He chooses. He chooses in Genesis chapter 1 to create man and to give mankind dominion in the earth. And the world is structured around that basic premise, that mankind has dominion in the earth. Notice, He has dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle. Those three categories of creatures are consistent throughout Scripture. When God wants to talk about the animal creation, He divides that animal creation based upon their habitat. The fish of the sea, obviously they're water creatures, they're in the sea. The fowls are the birds of the air, those are the birds that fly in the heavens. And then the beasts of the field, or the cattle in that case, the verse says. Those are land creatures. And God divides His animal creation into those three categories. Creatures of the sea, the water, creatures of the land, and creatures of the air. Mankind has dominion over all of those creatures. Mankind has dominion over the systems of this world, over the political structure of this world. If you turn to Genesis chapter 9, you see that God also, in giving mankind dominion on the earth, in Genesis chapter 9, He gives mankind the ability not only to rule the creatures, birds of the air, fish of the sea, and beasts of the field, but He gives mankind authority over Himself. Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 5, we read this, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." In Genesis chapter 9, He gives mankind, part of this dominion that mankind has on the earth is that He has the authority and the responsibility of ruling over Himself. He has the authority and the responsibility there to the point of whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. He institutes human government to have dominion and authority in planet earth. So the new world order, or I should say the existing world order, is a world order where mankind has dominion. Dominion over the animal kingdom, over the animal creation, dominion over the political systems and the political structure of the earth. And back in Genesis chapter 3, let's turn back just a few pages to Genesis chapter 3, you find out that mankind chooses to take that dominion that he has and take that dominion and turn it over to Satan. In other words, God is the creator of heaven and earth. He gives his dominion to mankind. It's mankind's dominion to do with as he chooses, as he pleases. What mankind is going to choose to do is give that dominion over to Satan. He will worship and serve Satan, the creature, more than the creator. Genesis chapter 3, and that happens in Genesis 3, verse 6, "When the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, they knew they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together to make and made themselves aprons." Mankind, in disobeying God and obeying Satan, in eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, makes a decision that his dominion will be in the service of Satan rather than the service of God. That he will exercise his dominion on planet earth not on God's behalf and not for God's purpose and for God's glory, but on Satan's behalf and to fulfill Satan's purpose. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks to us about this fact. Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians 2, we'll start reading at verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, we read this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Paul talks there in chapter 2 of Ephesians about our lives before salvation, our lives before we're quickened, when we're dead in trespasses and sins. We walk according to the course of this world. Well, what's the course of this world? The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And that's one of the titles of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there is a spirit at work in the world system, controlled by the prince and power of the air, by Satan, and mankind walks according to that course, according to the course of this world. So the world order as it exists presently, God gave dominion, gave authority in the world to mankind. Mankind, in turn, cedes that authority to Satan, by worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator, by obeying Satan rather than obeying God, that dominion is turned over to Satan. Mankind now still has dominion in the earth, but that dominion now is in the service of Satan rather than the service of God. And mankind now walks according to the course of this world, which is set by the prince and power of the air. Mankind's dominion is on behalf of and representing and carrying out the desires of Satan rather than desires of God. So the world order as it exists now is a world order dominated by Satan. Mankind has the dominion, but mankind exercises that dominion on Satan's behalf. Now, we want to talk about the new world order that is to come. This is the world order as it exists presently. But God talks about, and our topic this month is a new world order. And God speaks about, from the book of Genesis on through Scripture, He talks about one day establishing a new world order. A world order where that dominion of man that's been turned over to Satan will be given back to God. That there will still be man ruling and reigning, and man will still have dominion in the earth and exercise dominion, but that dominion will be exercised not on behalf of Satan and not to fulfill his purposes, but on behalf of God and to fulfill his purpose. Turn with me, if you will, back to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, when God sets aside Abram and changes his name to Abraham, we see that he has a definite interest in reestablishing his authority in the earth. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 says this, "The Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God has a desire to reestablish His authority, to reestablish His dominion on the earth, to bring in a new world order. A world order that's not under the control of Satan, a world order that is not dominated by the prince and power of the air, but a world order that's under the control of and dominated by and for the purposes of God. He begins with Abraham here, "In you shall all families of the earth be blessed." And we've seen on the broadcast before when he talks about the families of the earth, he's not talking there about the Smith family and the Jones family. He's talking about the nations of the earth. If you go back to Genesis chapter 10, verse 1, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood." And he begins to divide up the world into nations based upon the families of Noah, the families of his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We get down to verse 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families in their nations. He took those families that had descended from Shem, Ham, and Japheth, gave each family their own unique language, and that language, that family in that, speaking that language, living in a specific land, becomes a nation. So the nations come from the families that descended from Noah. That's why in chapter 12 he says, "In these shall all families of the earth be blessed." As I said, that's not the Smith and the Jones family. That is those families of Noah, Noah's sons, that became the nations. He's talking here in Genesis 12 about blessing the nations, about implementing a new world system. The world, the earth, is under the curse that man's obedience to Satan brought. I want to eliminate that curse, bless those nations, bless the inhabitants of the earth. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. In 2 Samuel, he talks a little bit more about that kingdom and about that blessing and about that world order and changing that world order. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 16, we read this. This is Nathan the prophet speaking to King David. And he says, "Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. We learn in 2 Samuel that the new world order, the establishment of this new world order, is going to come not just through the household of Abraham, but it gets refined even more. David, of course, is a descendant of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. So we're going to have Abraham, and then we go all the way down to David, and this new world order will be based upon the establishment of David's kingdom. "Thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." It's the throne of David and his authority that becomes the basis for a new world order. The order that exists now, which is under the dominion of Satan, is going to be replaced one day with a world order that's under the dominion of God through his servant David and through the throne of David. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. As we go through the Old Testament, we find out that that is the whole focus of prophecy, that the focus of prophecy is the establishment of a new world order, that God is going to eliminate the world order that exists now and eliminate the rule and the reign of Satan and establish a new world order. Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 31, we read this. "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." What God is trying to teach Nebuchadnezzar all the way back in the book of Daniel, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. He gave dominion over to mankind. Mankind took that dominion and gave it over to Satan. God has set about to reestablish his dominion and reestablish his authority and institute a new world order. And the message he has for Nebuchadnezzar is, Nebuchadnezzar, you will not stop me from establishing a new world order. I will do what I've purposed to do. I will establish that new world order. I will establish a new system of governance on planet Earth, no longer under the authority of Satan. You see, the thing about the world orders that mankind is going to establish a new world order, the problem with that is that any world order that mankind establishes, because man has given himself over wholly to Satan, is still going to be under the authority and the control of Satan. The only way to have a truly new world order is to eliminate that control and that authority of Satan and bring a world order under the control and the authority of God, who is the possessor of heaven and earth. Turn with me over to the book of Luke. When Jesus Christ comes in his earthly ministry, we see that the purpose remains the same. The purpose is to establish a new world order. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 30. Luke 1 and verse number 30. And there we read this. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign forever over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end." The Lord shall give to him the throne of his father David. Remember, all the way back in 2 Samuel, we read about the fact that this dominion that's been turned over to Satan, God is going to use the throne of David to take back that dominion. Here in the birth of Jesus Christ, a son of Abraham, a son of David, we see that promise continued, that God will use the throne of David to take back the authority and the dominion on planet Earth. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation. That authority and that dominion, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, we see that authority established and that dominion established as we come all the way to the end. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Jesus Christ establishes his authority on planet Earth in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, we read about the angel announcing the establishment of that authority. Revelation 11, 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." The establishment of God's authority on a whole new world order. And that thousand-year reign that we read about in chapter 20 leads up to chapter 21, where we started today, a new heaven and a new earth. There will be a new world order. The rule and the reign of Satan, the dominion that mankind has turned over to Satan, will be eliminated, and he shall reign. Jesus Christ shall reign forever and ever in a new heaven and a new earth. That new world order is not established by man's political wranglings. That new world order is not established by mankind's efforts. The origin, our topic today is the origin of the new. Where does that new world order originate? And it doesn't originate with mankind. It doesn't originate with the politicians of this world. It doesn't originate with the intellectual leaders of this world. It originates with God. It originates with him sending Jesus Christ to return to this earth and establish his kingdom. The kingdoms of man will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. No longer will that the kingdoms of man, the kingdoms of this earth, be given over to Satan, but he, Jesus Christ, will reign forever and ever. And the whole thrust and impact and point of the prophetic program in Scripture and the establishment of the nation Israel is to bring about that new world order. Now, one thing we need to understand, and we'll just say this very quickly, and then we'll talk about it a little more next week, is that all of this, the establishment of a new world order, is not what is in view for the church, the body of Christ. In fact, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says to us, "Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our conversation, our goal, our destiny is in the heavenly places. not in the establishment of a new world order. Our goal is to leave this earth and to be with Christ in the heavenlies, ruling and reigning there with Him. When we talk about the establishment of a new world order on planet Earth, we're talking about what God is doing through the nation Israel, through His earthly people. The church, the body of Christ, is for another purpose, to establish a new heavenly order, not a new world order. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But understand today that all of the prognostications of man and all of the efforts of man and all of the treaties of man and all the negotiations of man will never bring in that new world order. A new world order can only originate with God and can only be established when Jesus Christ sits on the throne of His father David. We'd like to help you understand more about the new world order and about how that new world order will come. And we'd like to do that by sending you the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. If you just write to us this month, we'll be glad to get them out to you. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Again, that's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.org. And our toll-free phone number is 877-53-GRACE. As I mentioned earlier in the program, if you have questions or comments about what you've heard today in the program, we'd love to hear those. And if you'd like to receive the audio video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire month series, just request the series on the New World Order. We'll be glad to get them out to you without any cost or obligation. And as I mentioned, we will continue this study next week and for the next 3 weeks. So we trust that you'll be tuned in again then. If you're not able to hear all the programs, please write and get the materials. And until next week, when we trust that you will be tuned in again, we trust that God's grace will be alive in your life.